man. I'm pumped. I'm ready to go. Let's rock.
Jeez.
It's the Migs cast. I'm Migs, Steve Migs. That's the Rev.
Hello.
The Reverend in Fuego. And that's Glenn Cannon.
Oh, hi there.
Today's a big day. It's studio day for us, guys.
That's right.
I know. Oh my gosh. We are going to go record with Jonathan Plum from London Bridge Studios, the Beat Migs song.
This is so
crazy.
It's
happening.
Like, you guys have recorded things in the past for your bands and stuff. I've never experienced something like this.
Well, we're miking you up today, dude.
Yeah, I know. And you say that, and now I'm just like, I don't even know what to expect.
No, he's like that sex partner, though. I was like, hey, man, we're recording your vocals today. He's like, I have a headache.
I did. I've been battling a headache for like
really
3 days.
And I was like, oh.
It's funny you say that.
I guess I'll watch TV.
Just like in the Guns N' Roses song, we're expecting you to do the moaning sounds during the Beat Migs. There's a moaning breakdown, like, where we're simulating sex, and we need you to make the moan.
Oh, you're talking about Rocket Queen?
Yes.
I thought that I thought there was actually a girl.
The actual thing going on?
I heard that, too.
Yeah, like, it's legit. I believe that's not even just the urban legend, but, like, that's Axel and some girl. And I'm sure she knew the mics were rolling, so she was, you know.
Don't you kind of wish
stoked for it?
Kind of back in the, I mean, nowadays everyone's got their behind the scenes, and we'll do that as well. We'll have some videos out, like, and there won't be any sex, unfortunately.
Because, that's what Steve thinks now.
Rev. Oh dear.
But wouldn't it be amazing if they had like a making of Appetite for Destruction video wise? And granted, you don't maybe see the hardcore parts of it, but you kind of see what was going down. Or
I think a lot of guys document that kind of stuff now. It'd be awesome if some of those classic records were documented to that degree.
Oh, that'd be so awesome.
But I will say, if you've ever seen the Doors movie, Meg Ryan, who's hurting for work these days, I've contacted her, and she's agreed to come down and reenact that scene with Steve, where Steve's singing and Meg's helping.
Yeah.
I was like, listen, I got $75 and a coupon for Taco Bell. She's like, okay, I'm on the way.
Ooh, she's fine. I got plastic surgery bills to pay. I'm more than happy to do that.
She shouldn't have done that.
Dude, every woman shouldn't do that. I don't understand. How does a woman look at pictures of other fellow celebrity women when they get older and go, oh, yeah, that's the kind of face I want?
Yeah, that's true.
It's like an overinflated Cupid doll.
Yeah.
Like, it's just like.
Right.
Do you think they're thinking that won't happen to me?
Yes. I can't imagine it, though, because it happens to every single person.
But their plastic surgeon promises it won't happen to
them. Let's all just stick with like anal bleaching and leave it at that. You know,
let's not go any further than that.
You know, that's my shining star.
And anal bleaching is actually going to be opening Migs Fest. We just added a seventh band
with Fiddlers in the Nude doing an unplugged set.
This is truly become that. They're on the second stage. It's right by the bathroom.
Yeah, it is.
Wow. So, yeah, today we are going to London Bridge Studios. Obviously, you can hear we're all very excited. What I'm excited about is not only are we doing the usual Beat Migs theme, but the boys in Windowpane and us, we're going to do a full song version of the Beat Migs song, which is why, Rev, there will be a part where you're not just doing now the chanting and the backing vocals. You are going to sing.
Oh, my.
Dude. At London Bridge Studios.
Well, for me, it was the fantasy of hearing you go, no. And I think that has to be part of the song.
No.
As I hear every morning, twice a morning, you hear, no.
Not when I answer questions, because everything's right.
That hasn't been my experience as a listener, but okay. But I just thought, how cool would it be to have, you know,
revisionist history.
That no as part of the song somewhere.
Nice.
And, you know, Migs and I are trading texts back and forth, and it just spiraled into this, oh, I love it. Oh, dude. And, you know, we're like a couple. Three-year-olds
stumbling
away
on it, and just to be able to be like, yeah, I recorded at London Bridge.
Right.
Suck it, nerds.
I just love that I'll finally be able to say I've tracked at London Bridge, but not for the drums, which makes it even more funny. Like, I might have to bug Sean and be like, can I just hit a cymbal on the recording?
Oh, I'm sure he'll let you play, man.
Just one cymbal, that's all. That way I could be like, you know, Chad Channing, still getting those residual checks for Nevermind.
Wait,
there's
going to
be mechanicals paid on this?
Yes.
I wasn't aware of any kind of...
Oh,
cool.
Oh, yeah. We're getting all, like, big royalty checks from this, man.
Nice.
It's going to be on iTunes and everything. I don't know. How do we even do that?
He can see me. I'm like, I'm doing math in my head, and all of a sudden he started sweating. Did you guys catch that? He saw that. I was like,
don't take my word.
Wait. I can get paid to play guitar?
Nope.
That's not what I read in the pamphlet. What?
Man, so we're going to do a shorter one. By shorter, probably like an hour long. Sorry. I just want to say a quick hi to Justin and Hannah, who are hanging out. I've met you guys a few times, and it's always great seeing you guys. You're a true beacon of positivity, and I always love hanging out and talking to you guys. And thank you for listening to the podcast. podcast.
Yeah, well, thanks for having us.
It's been a good morning for you. Came in. They didn't know, but Luke Wilson swung by.
Yes, and we got to meet Luke Wilson. That was
Luke's
awesome.
Really cool. Nice fella. Taller than me. Am I wrong?
He's huge.
Yeah, gigantic. That guy's a wall, man. Yeah,
ridiculously huge.
Couldn't be a nicer guy.
Right. Yeah, sweetheart.
It's always cool when, like, you know, I mean, these guys are, some of these football players have the world handed to them, and they act like they have the world handed to them. He could not be more of the. I mean, he is. The opposite of that.
Yeah, he's a sweetheart of a
guy. I think he would be like that even if he wasn't Canadian. But you always just imagine the fact that he's Canadian. He's just, all Canadians are super nice.
They think ham's bacon. Of course they're cool.
What's that all about?
There's a few things I want to talk about. We've had this, and honestly, it's funny I bring up positivity because the whole stay positive mantra really stemmed from, if I remember correctly, it all started because I was getting annoyed with how people were just so negative on Facebook about our rock girls.
Yeah.
If you remember, like, that, we had people.
What?
You know how it is? You have a picture of a beautiful girl, and obviously not everybody is going to think somebody is beautiful. But in a real world setting, you don't need to tell that person that. But in social media settings, eat a sandwich. Mm-hmm. Wow, that girl looks this way.
That's really messed up. Who takes time out of their day to do that?
Trolls. Awful human beings.
Actually, I got trolled yesterday.
I was about to say, dude, you've been dealing with it, the window pane stuff.
One guy. Tony and I were laughing. There's always one guy.
Well, he's a fan, and you guys should show. I spent a good. I was spiraling
into that.
Just going
to start boxing up and mailing stool samples to these people, man.
Dude, this one guy, and we should talk about that.
I took that post down. I was like, that's enough. That's enough light. The light's been shed on it, and let's move on to something cool.
Well,
and
that guy, he was mad. You know, we talked a little bit about how there's been a little bit of a backlash from some of the local musicians that just are, in my opinion, miserable human beings and can't be happy if their friends are doing well or busting their tail and having, you know, moments of success. And it's all in the eyes of the beholder because, like, you've brought it up before. Hey, you think we're successful. This is why maybe we're not. But in our eyes.
Swing on by Wells Fargo and tell them how successful I am.
So you guys, both you and Tony, put up a great post. I thought it was very heartfelt, and it was very transparent, which is why I liked it. It was like, look, this is what we are doing. This is how we do it, and this is why we are able to reach the level of local music success that some people just seem to be bothered by. Well, one person took umbrage with it, not because they're having success. He was upset because he felt that as a fan, he wasn't getting enough gratitude for the success that you guys have been having. And he was really butthurt about it.
It goes even deeper. Like, Tony and I looked into, because I was like, I don't recognize him. I've looked at his photos and I really don't recognize that cat. And we got even deeper, and he has a couple things he does. Mm-hmm. So he would always plug and tag us in his posts to try and gain exposure for the things that he was doing. So the further we dug, the more we went,
he's what we
like this
call,
went from uncool to really uncool.
He's,
you know,
what we call a barnacle because he just hangs on the ship.
Dude, at one point he actually said, I've done so much for your band, more than any of your other fans. And I'm like, wow, okay, this has really become a very self-important
on that same thread
post.
Dean Sherritt, who was a major contributor to the Kickstarter program that paid for our album, and I won't disclose what he gave, but it was
$7 million,
generous.
I'll say
Oh, man. Well, you know,
testicle.
He was in there, sitting there while I was tracking guitars to put it to that, you know, to give you an idea. And he got on there and was like, dude, are you out of your mind? You know, and he didn't say, I've given, I've done. He just said, dude, you're really getting this. Yeah.
You've missed the point of this post.
It
completely.
Was an opportunity to troll, man. Yep. That's all it was.
And it was like, hey, look at me. I want attention on me. And it was really frustrating. And it's like, it's kind of those people that are really, they get under my skin. Like, to no end, especially when we do the rock girl stuff. Because I'm like, if you're not going to say it to somebody's face, and I don't mean this like in like a physical confrontation way, but like if you would not have the nerve to say it to someone's face, why would you say it behind a keyboard?
It's keyboard cowboys. And that's what it always is. People would never say this if they had to look you in the eyes. But it was one of the first podcasts we did together where I was talking about everyone has a voice, and that's really, really cool. But you know, people.
It's a double-edged sword.
Their boundaries, there's no boundaries because there's no repercussions for running your mouth. And then people also pay way too much credence to the things that are said. Mm-hmm. Like, hey, man, don't take it that personally. And I just find it hard to believe that. Well, actually, well, I guess I don't, you know.
Here's why this is all like just kind of now really stewing in my system. Because so I post on Instagram. I have a video that I came across of me on a move in a movie.
Are you in a bathing suit? Did they say you need to eat a sandwich?
Beast. I wish. That would be nice. The Jerk Beast. Yes.
I saw your post on that.
Yeah. So I posted the clip of me in this movie. It was a very, very, very indie film. But it was like kind of like a small cult classic of a film called Jerk Beast, the movie.
Jerk Beast?
Mm-hmm. Do you remember back
in
the...
It's not what you think.
This is not sexual.
No, not at all. Well, I don't know.
it was based off of a public access show. You remember back in the day, and I actually came across a cool article that I shared on my my Steve Miggs Facebook page about the glory days of Seattle's public access television. You were around at that time as well, like when there was a lot of like 29 Live, which is a great local music.
I arrived in this city from Maryland. No, I moved here by way of Florida, for God's sake. Other corner of the country.
It was like late 90s?
97 or 98.
So right around my time. So yeah, the public access was going on. There were all these weird, like Goddess Kring was this chick that would get naked on television.
Oh, that's exciting.
There was the Mike Hunt show.
Oh, yeah, that was the porn that was on.
Right.
Yeah.
Right. One of my
favorites.
Of course
I remember that.
Yeah, right.
And I encourage any of our podcast listeners that might imbibe in the marijuana. Bong Hit Championships was one of my favorites, where basically a guy would do a live call-in show. Jeez. And people would call in and do a bong hit, and he would rate them, and he would time it. I don't know if there was ever a prize involved, but it was basically...
This is excellent programming.
Right, this was public access. And as a 20-something stoner, it was the great... And I didn't have cable, or I had very limited cable. It was the greatest stuff to watch.
Essentially, it's what Periscope is now.
Yes.
Because Periscope is just...
Or YouTube, even.
Yeah, just people sitting around talking to and chatting with people and then doing dabs.
But this was like Channel 77 or something like
that. Yeah,
yeah. And then it's like, we'd smoke some pot. Oh, and here's some porn. There's the guy who was obsessed with proving that Kurt Cobain was murdered, Richard Lee.
Oh, my goodness.
And then my favorite was the Jerk Beast. And this show was a giant papier-mâché made monster that looked angry, all red face, and he was just pissed off. And a guy would wear this giant monster outfit, and his two buddies, and the three of them would take phone calls and just say the most vile, inappropriate things to the callers. And it would just basically be them answering the call, and the caller and the Jerk Beast and his friends yelling at each other, telling them to do completely inappropriate things, and for a half hour.
Public access.
It's public access.
It's great.
So then I would talk about it on the morning show.
I've never seen this, and I miss it.
I'll send you some links. If you just look up Jerk Beast on YouTube, it's hilarious.
Okay.
Yeah, they put them up there.
Oh, yeah, and they're funny as all hell. So I was obsessed with it back when I worked at The End. We had the Jerk Beast on. We had him play Beat the Producer, obviously enough. We did an interview with him. It was awesome, right? Well, I got to know those guys and become kind of friends with them. And they're like, hey, we're working on this movie. We have a scene at a radio station. Can we, A, use a radio station? And B, would you want to be the DJ? Hell yeah. I mean, my buddies and us, I mean, it was weekend must-see TV, like on a Saturday night at 8 p.m.
That's amazing.
If we had a show to play, because it was my old roommate, it was my bandmate, we would stay home to watch The Jerk Beast and then go out. And if we had a show to play and we had to load in before that, we would set the VCR, record it, play our show.
Did you hear that word, kids? VCR.
Video cassette recorder.
That's a video cassette recorder. Was yours Betamax or VHS?
VHS.
Ooh.
Top loader or front?
Front loader.
Ooh, top loader, my man. Yeah.
And you know we went SLP with the recording quality.
Super long play.
Right, we wanted 6 hours of the Jerk Beast.
Oh, man.
There are like 20
Sorry about that. I didn't mean to interject.
No. There are 20-somethings right now. I have no idea what
we were jamming
talking
to
about.
Our 8-track cassettes.
Yeah, I was about to go, it's kind of like a cassette for video, and I'm sure someone will be like, what's a cassette? So anyways, we're obsessed. I got to be in the movie. I played Slammin' Sammy, the DJ, and at one point, I got annoyed with them. Oh, no, they were cursing, and I asked them not to curse, but I told them, I love your shtick, and then Jerk Beast got mad and reached over the console and choked me, and that was my scene. So I post that clip on Instagram, and it's just I'm Steve Miggs on Instagram. You can watch it. Really funny, dumb. It's on Netflix, the movie, so if you have Netflix.
Is it really?
Apparently so.
Wow.
Just search for The Jerk Beast, and you can watch it. Don't watch it with probably someone who's easily offended. There's some weird scenes in it. Like, just... it's just weird. It's a weird movie.
I love your censored vagary.
Yeah. Just, I don't even know how to describe it. And also, because I haven't seen it in so long, I feel like I might not even be selling how weird it is, but it was really a weird movie. So, I post it. somebody decides to, you know, a lot of people are like, wow, Migs, you have hair.
There was one guy.
You got some people that are like, that guy's not you. He's attractive. And I thought that was funny. Like, that kind of stuff, I think, if there's a punchline to a shot, I'm okay with like people making fun of me.
Mm-hmm.
I really am. Like,
oh, please have a laugh.
Right.
Yeah.
I mean, I always say on the air, I'm like, if you're laughing with me or at me, I'm happy because you're laughing. That's all I hope for. I mean, as long as it's not mean-spirited, that's really all I hope for in anything that I do that involves entertainment. And I use that word loosely. So this guy posts, wow, Migs. And I saw this Sunday morning. I was so upset, just to give you an idea. While I was writing him back, my hand was shaking.
Oh, like, I've been there recently.
Yeah, that's what I was thinking about you because of all this crap that was going on with that guy. It's like an emotion that I shouldn't feel, like, because of a stupid social network. But it's like you get a peek inside just how miserable some people are. This is what he writes. Wow, Migs, you look so much better with hair. At this point, still fine.
Yeah,
whatever.
All right, yeah.
It really detracted from your giant overbite. I mean, oh, here. I don't mean to put you down. It's just every time I've met you, I can't stop staring at your mouth and thinking, what went wrong?
What?
Wow. Okay.
What? Right. So now I'm like,
We've crossed the line.
I'm like, there's no punchline to this. There's nothing funny.
Does this continue beyond that?
No, that's it. So my response, ha. Wow, dude, you're a grown man that is consumed with another dude's looks. When you don't mean to put somebody down, you just don't say anything. Keep being a troll. Take care. So then at this point, of course, I'm curious.
Here we go. So he fires back?
Not yet. But now I'm curious. Now I'm stewing. Because okay. I'm mad.
Oh, yeah,
and I was
sure.
trying to be as nice as possible. Like, I even debated saying the troll part. I was like, I'm going to just be transparently annoyed.
Mm-hmm.
But I'm not going to, like, take shots at the guy. Like, I even created a post that I never posted where I found pictures of him on his Instagram. And I was going to, like, do this whole thing. Like, it's amazing the glass houses that we live in. Because the people that are most consumed to make, or the people that make fun of other people's looks are the people that should not be talking. So I come across, and I'll show you guys because, you know, I mean, obviously you're not going to show anyone.
Actually, I'm going to photograph it and post it for the world to see immediately.
That is the guy that is commenting on my looks.
The weird truck on the left?
Like, I'm not going to take shots at what he looks
Prime.
Like.
You guys want to give in on this?
Just to give you an idea of the type of person that is...
Oh. I don't think the mic picked it up.
Well, we'll have to go back.
Yeah, we'll have to throw a quick. But that's my opinion. So Rev can see it too. Again,
wow.
I debated putting that up, but I was like, you know what? That's really mean spirited. There's no need for that.
Because well, that guy's obviously insecure, and so he attacked you.
And like, yes,
it's that simple.
I want to make him feel how I felt, but I also, for anyone out there that might like share similarities to the guy, I didn't want them to feel that way, and that was the reason why I never bothered to put it up there. So then I move on, and I'm like, I wonder if he was ever going to respond to me, and I just kind of like, you know, at some point I was like, whatever, and I'm like, this guy is like, he's got kids, he's got grandkids. I'm like, he's actually written me before. Because I found one of his pictures. I'm like, I remember this guy.
Has he taken shots at you before?
No. He sent me a message before saying he was amazed that I was going to... I saw a Christian rock band, Colton Dixon and Toby Mac. And he's like, I didn't know you like Christian music. I'm like, oh, cool. This guy's digging it too, you know? So that also bothered me. I'm like, Mr. Goes to Christian music... probably tries to like live a Christian lifestyle is being that judgmental.
A lot of those cats are pretty hateful.
You're absolutely right.
That's not what I got out of the whole thing, but okay.
So here's his response. He finally wrote me back then. And I've since deleted it so that way it's not there. And I'm not trying to encourage people to like have an all-out attack on the guy. So he deleted the original post.
That was smart.
Right. And writes, sorry, Steve, I'm no troll and I didn't mean it that way.
Oh, wow. Okay.
But here's my question. And I'm not going back and forth with the guy. He said sorry. I'm a firm believer in when someone says sorry, despite if they have to have a but or this or that.
Why'd you say it?
Like, I'm not going to be like, you need to be more sorry. But if you didn't mean to say...
Why would you say that?
What did you mean? Like, yeah. what was the intention of saying something like that? You know
I have been in scenarios where I've gotten... The problem with... And it's part of the problem with social media, but text has no inflection.
Mm-hmm.
And so when you read it, it's completely open to interpretation.
Mm-hmm.
And I've been in situations where I've private messaged someone and said, hey, I just saw your comment and da 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 da. Mm-hmm. And actually, it seems like every single time I've done that, I've gotten back a, oh my God, that's not what I meant at all. Oh, I totally see why you would think that.
Yep. Yeah.
And I'm like, well, I'll go delete it now. And I just wanted to make sure you were cool because that came off a bit. And then a dialogue happens.
That's
and it's
cool.
Great. I've experienced
I
that.
I by him.
He's well, no, no, no. I've experienced that more than
war.
Once.
I was ready to declare war on
But no, I've experienced the other side of it where you read something and your blood boils and you're like, man, if we were face to face, I would ask you, you know, if you've ever had your nose broken before and if you'd like to experiment with that now. You know, that happened to me yesterday over nothing. I got him.
Yeah,
I got him.
Yeah, you got him.
One day I'm going to use that. I'm like, have you ever experienced your nose being broken? If not, I have my friend Glenn would like for you to experience.
Would you like to experiment with that now? Is that something you're curious and
I'd
trying?
I'd say I do it, but I throw like a girl, so hey.
Well, no, but probably what would happen is at that point the guy would drop me and then I'd be laying there with my nose broken like, anyway, that's what I was going to do to you.
Right. Yeah. Now I can tell you what it feels like.
Yeah. It hurts. Can you give me some popsicle sticks and a shot of Jack Daniels? But, I've lost my point.
Sorry. Womp womp. But no, you're right. I mean, it's like at some point, be more accountable. Like, how did I just... I'm
very careful what... Knowing that text has no inflection, I'm very careful about what I put up.
Yep.
And I can't think of a time that something I've said has been misinterpreted, unless it was something about myself where I put up something I thought I put up one the other day, literally, where I was like, I'm watching the original 1963 Batman film.
Mm-hmm.
And in watching this, I'm realizing that perhaps
is this Burt Ward, Adam West Batman
oh,
film?
The real, the one, yeah, dude, the where with the shark repellent.
Spray.
Oh, yeah, man.
Oh, my
And that
gosh.
Was like a half hour into this thing.
Running
and I was
down,
like,
running down the street with the bomb.
Oh, dude. Yeah. I was like, this is like a psyop. And then I was like, I got on Facebook and I'm like, I think I'm actually depressed and this is a cry for help. I think I'm actually doing this to hurt myself. And I thought it was hilarious. And so did like 40 other people. And so it's the things, you know, you check in, you're like, oh, it's got a head of steam. Yay.
Right.
And then I got like two private messages. Hey, man, are you okay? Do you need to talk? And I was
yeah,
like,
right.
Oh, brother, dude. Well, okay, because a friend of mine, you know, and I'm like, yeah, I actually have lost friends that way too.
And yeah.
And all the, you know, but it's one of those things. It's so open to interpretation that someone read what I thought was hilarious mm-hmm. and went, oh man, Glenn's having a rough time.
Right.
I've been misunderstood. And honestly, it's awesome that people would reach out to make sure I'm okay. That's mm-hmm. awesome.
Yeah.
And I told there was a couple different cats that actually messaged me that way. And I was like, oh man, I really appreciate it. I'm all good. Much love. And I mean, that's truly how I felt, but I've been misinterpreted that way, but I've never posted something on someone's that I thought even for an instant that my comment could be hurtful. I'd rather not say anything at all.
Yeah.
Right?
That was like, I even tweeted a little bit about it. I got a little bit like...
Now everyone's researching Facebook so they can just burn me down. But you call this guy a retard. Well, no, it was a spelling error.
It was retard. The inflection was weird. It was a hangover joke. Come on, people. But I even like threw up on Twitter. I'm like, you know, I'm just sick of people prefacing things with, I don't mean to be a dick, but... Or it could be anything. I don't mean to be mean, but... Not for nothing, but... Or I'm like, I don't mean to be a dick, but...
Leave it be.
It's like... Typically, then you are being a dick because you're going to say something dicky. Just accept it. Just say it. If you really want to be that guy, just say it, but don't preface it with, I don't mean to be mean, but you have an awful overbite and you're this and you're that. And every time I've seen you, it's like, well, bro, if you see me a bunch of times, I have a feeling you've talked to me. And then if you've talked to me, I've probably, more often than not, I've been very nice to you and had a pleasant conversation, I would hope, or an awkward one. Sometimes I'm a little weird.
But he's like, I didn't mean to be hurtful. It's like, dude. How is what you said not hurtful?
Right.
In what way?
It's kind of awkward with what we do because a lot of people like just assume that they know us,
so they can be
can
part
bro
of the joke.
Down and yep. they get in on that. And especially with you, Glenn, you do a lot of self-deprecation in your humor and stuff like
is that.
We're just
a
talking
sex
about
joke?
It. No, it's not. But
it's very Michael Hutchins of Glenn.
Choke me and slap me.
Autoerotic self-deprecation. But no,
watch that Batman movie. Watch it.
Oh, God. Actually, Catwoman, you know.
Was it Eartha Kitt?
Yeah, and she's wearing the bodysuit, you know.
Don't mean to cut you off, but quick aside, Batgirl was my first girlfriend, if you know what I mean, from the Batman show.
Dude, mine was Erin Gray from Buck Rogers. She used to wear those spandex bodysuits with the zipper down the front.
Yes!
Did I tell you guys recently that was available?
I cranked it to the action figure once.
Wow. Oh, I love you for that. Oh, bump it in. No, I want to get back to what you were saying, Rev. I'm sorry we derailed. failed you so badly.
Hold that thought. Hold that thought, Rev.
No, man. Buck Rogers season one was on Netflix. This was maybe a year ago. And I'm like, oh, cool. And I was like, I wonder if... Yeah, I fapped multiple times, man. I was watching her like...
She was so hot.
Dude, it was really fair. Everyone, most of my generation says Daisy Duke, and I'm not going to argue with Catherine Bach, but for me, Erin Gray and those body suits and...
I'm on your team. I'm 100% on your team.
It was really, really exciting.
I would go Devil's Threesome
with you for that. Go to Netflix, pull up an episode. It's really bad, therefore amazing.
I don't know if I should use the word pull up.
Space Vampire. You want to look up the episode called Space Vampire.
I will.
If you can make it through that without roughing up the suspect, he's writing it down.
No, I'm not. I don't know what you're...
Anyway, Rev, before we deteriorated into masturbation, what were you talking about, bro?
I literally don't remember.
Self-deprecating humor. People think they know you.
Yeah, and so what they'll do is they'll make those jokes. And they'll make those jokes in that, oh, haha, I'm giving you a ribbon because I've known you for X amount of years and I can do that. And they don't realize that... It sucks to say, but you're just a person out there. Like, there's nothing that we haven't bonded over anything. There's nothing to have that. And I mean, it's like, it's great that you listen to us and you understand that and you've come and seen us and all those things. But if we haven't, you know...
Know the line.
Yeah. If we haven't gone out or we haven't partied or we haven't done things as a group of people for a while, you don't necessarily know us.
Yeah.
Some of us are a part of us, but especially with that sort of stuff, you can't really just do that.
A good example, I mean, how we had Luke Wilson in this morning. I remember I did a recent event with him and Jermaine Kearse, mm-hmm. and we're hanging out in the back room, just the three of us. And like Luke, I feel comfortable enough I can give a hard time to. Like, we've gotten to that point now where we're close enough that we can give each other crap.
Yeah.
And he was giving a little crap to Jermaine, and like, I had a great line that I was like, oh, this would be funny. And then I thought, I don't know Jermaine. Like,
yeah.
Granted, like, in a way, by being friends with Luke, Jermaine feels comfortable around me. But like, I'm not crossing that line because I'm not his friend.
Yeah.
And although I'm in a circle where all bets might be off, I got to respect their friendship and that they can do that to each other. But I'm not like mm-hmm. I agree with you, man. There are times where people like try and jump in with a joke. Maybe like I could give you a hard time and you give me a hard time. And it's no different. Like, this isn't about work stuff. Like, this is just like if I showed up to a party and everyone's giving one guy a hard time because he's like the one friend, like it's almost like the whipping boy of their crew. I am absolutely not going to give him a hard time.
Yeah, no doubt.
Because I haven't earned that right.
Yeah.
And until you earn that right, shut the F up.
I mean, even within our band, and I mean, you talk about a family.
Yes.
Here's four guys that are really stuck together. and stuff that I would say about myself, or stuff that Mark would say about himself, or Sean or Tony, he might say it, but I'd never say it.
Sure.
I mean, it's that like, too. Hey, it's cool for you to make fun of yourself in that way, but I will never reinforce that because I know you well enough to know that you're having fun with something for the sake of keeping it lighthearted, but man, because I love you and respect you, I'll make this joke or that joke, but there's just lines that you don't cross. And I mean... Right. It's not that we're all such delicate souls. I mean, it's four lunatics in a room, right?
But respecting each other's line.
But we know each other well enough to know what's off the table and what's on the table. And that's the problem with social media. And like you guys are saying, people feel like they know you, they feel a connection to you, but they have no idea what's on the table or off the table. And you read me that post, I'm like, man, that's really unpleasant. I mean, that's uncalled for,
like,
completely.
I legit was so angry that I was shaking. I don't remember the last time I was that. Like, I looked at my hand and I'm like, either I'm going through withdrawals for alcohol, but I didn't drink last night.
I haven't seen Glenn in a week.
I'm like, wow. I'm like, this guy really got under my skin. Uh-huh. Bad. And then I don't want to keep dwelling on it, but it was really pissed me off.
Let's talk about Erin Gray some more.
Yes, and her boobies. But I've done that before. I remember when we had like Miss Washington and Stormy, who's a friend of the show and used to work at the station, and I posted a picture and some guy just like really went off on her in the picture and was like, I don't get why, blah blah blah, and my response was very simple. I said, I don't understand the point of your comment.
Why would a guy attack a girl that way? I understand girls being catty, but why would any man attack any insecurity. Woman that way? He's got to be remarkably insecure.
Well, and that's the thing. I mean, at that point, you could delve into that rabbit hole as far as you want.
Big
and
time.
It's usually past experience and dealing with all sorts of other, you know, psychological stuff that, you know, I'm obviously not qualified to talk about. But,
no, yes,
you are.
I think you're more than qualified.
You're a reverend.
It is true. I am ordained.
Yes, you're ordained. You can say whatever you want.
I could marry both
pastors
of you right now.
Can you right now?
Yes, it's legal in the state.
We've got witnesses.
We should do this.
But I'm already married. I got to get my... All right, let me text my wife.
No, I see a scenario coming up. No, I'm about to get punched punched in the face.
Sister brother wives?
It's a Raising Arizona thing, man.
Sure, why
Keep
not?
Keep your goddamn hands off my wife, Glenn. That guy's name was Glenn, too, in Raising Arizona.
It works.
His boss.
Oh, that's funny.
Yeah. Me and Doc are swingers, as in to swing.
Key party.
If you guys haven't seen Raising Arizona, watch it immediately.
Watch it. It's like one of,
it's one of the best movies ever
made.
It's
one of Nick Cage's good movies.
Gosh, yeah. I've never watched the whole movie, so I need to.
I'll loan it to you.
Well, I don't have
any. You got a VHS?
I'll have to check if it's like on Netflix or something. I don't have any DVD players hooked up.
You have a laptop?
Not one that works.
You got a video game console.
Yeah, I know, but I only use it to play video games.
But it'll play.
It plays DVDs, dude.
Just fast forward
stop pushing this crap onto me, you guys. Stop pushing it on
too
me.
Too much pressure. Too much pressure.
You guys are making me hate you.
I'll be taking these Huggies and any cash you might have in the register. Sorry.
Oh, no, that's totally fine. So, yeah, that was my whole thing. My whole subject was internet is a bitch.
I'm going to troll you now, like just every other day, Raising Arizona on his news feed.
Yep.
I'll walk in here next Tuesday and he'll just drop me.
What you need to do is you need to find clips of it. So eventually, throughout a whole year, you post the entire movie on his Facebook page.
30-second snippets.
Yeah, 30 seconds at a time. Here's the entire movie.
He's going to help me experiment with having my nose broken, I think, if I do that to him.
No, that'd be a good way for me to watch it in short doses.
Yeah, right.
I'm in. Let's make it happen. And then you watch the Jerk Beast movie and talk about my overbite, and we'll be perfect.
Oh, goodness.
Things will be great. Oh, man. So, Rev, things good in your world?
Yeah, things are actually pretty awesome. We went to...
Sorry, that just seems so random.
Yeah, it's like, not segue.
Right. We don't have commercials to play, you know?
Right. It was like a George Lucas wipe. Meanwhile, on Dagobah.
Quick aside, I love the fact that the last Star Wars movie, the new reboot, actually did have a couple, either one or two wipes in the transitions. I thought that was such...
I loved it, by the way.
Me too.
Some people panned it. I thought it was killer.
It's a nostalgia hit. It's what J.J. Abrams is good at.
Yep.
Like, if you look at the new Star Trek.
I loved those, too.
It's the same thing. Yep. It's updating it for the new viewership and how people watch movies now. But it keeps all that old stuff. It's like, you remember this stuff? Yeah, it's still around. Well, we still got that magic.
Star Wars movie without the Millennium Falcons, like a Dukes of Hazzard movie without the General Lee. I mean, those prequels were painfully bad. And diehard Star Wars fans were like, well, no, actually, the third one they got right. No, dude, that's like trying to say that the rape wasn't quite a rape. Come on, man. It's not okay. It's not okay. I have a buddy. His son is now 11 or so.
A slight extreme.
He won't let... No, it's not. He won't let his son watch the prequels. He's like, no, son.
Oh, they're fine.
No. Oh,
they're fine,
Christ,
Glenn.
If I threw holy water on him, he'd explode. No, man.
We just talked about
this. Teach him about broken noses.
Anyway, Rev, how have you been, man?
I've been pretty good up until this point. Star Wars denier. No, we actually went to, the wife and I went to a steampunk convention.
I was wondering
this
about
weekend,
that.
And it was outstanding. We ended up getting dressed up. Well, she got dressed up both days because she has a corset and she wants to wear it. And
a lot of the ladies' steampunk fashions are really so exciting. Dude, it's cool.
And that's one of the greatest things about a convention like this, because I go to a lot of comic book conventions and all sorts of things like that, and you'll see some people dressing up. The steampunk conventions, there's not as many people there, but almost, I would imagine, 95 to 99% of the people are dressed up. So you get however you want to envision it, with goggles and brass and corsets and all sorts of crazy, kind of back in time revisionist history sort of garb. And it's just amazing to see that. And everybody is just bonded by that. So I actually, because my fat ass couldn't find my Spanx. Yes, I have Spanx.
What's a Spanx?
Oh, you don't know,
what Spanx are? Yeah. They are, they're originally for ladies, but...
With an X, Spanx.
Yes, they are form-fitting. Basically, it's like an undershirt that sucks and pulls everything in. So you just
I get that.
So for someone like me, I just basically turn into a summer sausage. But at the same point, it keeps a nice form.
A delicious summer sausage.
I bought it when I was going on Wheel of Fortune. Because I wanted to make sure I had a nice svelte form.
Yeah, svelte.
Yeah.
I love you for that word.
And then I also wore it for my wedding. But I haven't been able to find it since, because right after the wedding, we came back and then I moved like the week later and I just don't know where it's at. And this was very distressing. I actually kind of lost my mind on...
I can't find my Spanx, honey.
Yeah.
Where are my Spanx?
Yeah. The wife, Michelle, was really kind of laughing at me afterwards.
The neighbor's like, what kind of weird kinky thing are our neighbors in? This guy's yelling about Spanx. spanking.
They've never been to my house.
dress like the Buck Rogers girl.
Oh, please.
Be my space vampire.
Kidnap me, please. Interrogate me.
Even at that point, I had my vest on and one of the buttons popped off.
Oh!
Which sucks.
Bummer, man.
But the people are so cool. Somebody had a sewing kit. Someone just right there helped me and
That's
sewed it on.
Awesome.
Like, I was like, this is outstanding. Like,
oh, yeah.
The people, the community, the people are just so amazing.
I was going to say that's very random, but then you think about it, it's a cosplay kind of a costume-based party.
That's just handy, yeah.
You, everything is being handmade. The chances of that happening, probably often.
And it was funny because at that point,
wouldn't
it
happen if you had your Spanx on, though?
Yeah, right? I know. And when we got there, I had already, I had written it off. I'm like, whatever, I'm just going to walk around and have some fun with it. I'd taken a couple of shots of Fireball before we went over to the convention.
Nice. I'm just slightly bloated, steampunk guy.
Yeah, and I didn't care at that point. But someone noticed, and it's like, oh, you lost a button. I was like, oh, yeah, I didn't lose it. It's in my pocket. She's like, oh, I can fix that for you. I was like, oh, that's amazing. Thank you.
Female, male.
Female.
Nice.
Yeah. And
what was she wearing?
She was wearing this handmade dress. She took a wedding dress and split it down the front so she could take and button different inserts on the front so it could be different colors on how she wanted. And she had all of these little tiny clockwork spiders that she had put all over it. Jeez. And then the back looked like she had a huge collar that went up almost above her head. And it was made with a furnace grate.
The cone of shame?
Oh, you're kidding.
No, a furnace grate. I was like, astounded.
No, cone of shame's for you, dude.
Yeah. But it was kind of a half cone of shame.
And then we fill it with dog food so you can't.
Well, so he can eat.
Right, right.
Yeah, so it works.
Chew your way to freedom.
Okay.
But, just seeing all of these people dressing up like that and doing that, it actually got us really, I got really excited to kind of make my own costume. I was looking
Then you broke another button where the zipper is.
There you go.
I'm sorry.
But we,
this lady.
Well, she's probably kneeling while she's stitching the button. Did she?
She did, but this it was a public place. Don't worry about it.
Stranger things have happened in public, man.
I like how your
There's no way out. You realize I can turn anything into a sexual innuendo.
Pretty much. Your friends Glenn and Steve are turning this into a penthouse for him, forgetting the fact that your wife was with you.
Yeah. I can't believe it happened to me at a steampunk convention. Right.
I would have never guessed this would happen to me.
I never thought I'd be writing you.
Oh,
the
man.
Third button on my Buttonfly steampunk pants popped off.
But watching what she did with just like Luke talking about her costume and other people talking about their costume, I was like, oh, I'm going to buy these things and do this stuff, I realized that you can just go and kind of salvage stuff. And so yesterday, Michelle and I ended up hitting a ton of Goodwills just looking for stuff to kind of build a costume because I got a whole bunch of ideas on stuff I want to do now.
What kind of finds did you come across?
Nothing too crazy. I found a tiki torch that's made out of metal. No, it's weird because it's a tiki torch, but it's like over 6 feet tall. It's made out of metal and the torch part is actually glass. And it just looks really cool.
Did you poke the floor and scream, "You shall not pass"?
I could, but I don't want to break it yet. I gotta work on it a little bit.
You shall not pass. Come on.
I found an old fireplace stoker, just that, old timey, pushed clap it together and it goes out.
Oh,
and stuff
the pincher, the log pincher,
exactly.
Okay. The blower.
So this the things that I can kind of figure out and put stuff on. But
I never thought when I met this blower that this would happen to me. Penthouse Forum.
It was super fun. Just
surprisingly fit just perfectly.
Just to go around all the Goodwills and kind of check all that stuff out.
Do you have $20 in your pocket?
Yeah, no, basically.
I'm gonna pop some tags.
But I've realized now I'm actually kind of looking more for the junk. Like, I'm kind of looking for the stuff.
I get it, man.
Goodwill, as funny as it sounds, it's more high class than what I want.
Because you're looking for an antique style thrift shop.
I'm looking for swap meet.
Yeah.
And I know that Tacoma Tacoma has the Starlight swap meet, so I'm gonna check that out. But we also went and checked out the B&I.
What's the B&I?
The B&I
is
okay. Do you remember Mallrats?
Yes.
Do you remember when they went to the Dirt Mall?
Yes.
That's the B&I.
Oh, okay. So it's just like a big swap meet
type of a thing?
Yeah, a bazaar is the best way to do it.
If you were a kid, you'd love it there because you could buy butterfly knives and throwing stars there.
Yes.
That kind of place.
And Nirvana bootlegs. And that's where I used to get all my bootleg videos. On
so you'd have cool music and I'd have the shuriken, you know?
Yeah. No, they had swords there. I almost bought a couple, but then I can't afford it. Put money
you don't need a sword. You need a tank of gas. You don't need a sword.
Exactly. But at that point, I'm like, I need a sword. It's right there, and it's so in fucking expensive.
The next time I'm on my 10-speed, I'll need this sword.
But the wife had never been to the BNI, and this is the place that had Ivan the Gorilla for the longest time.
What's that telling you about? One of my buddies was actually his handler back in the day.
Really? Ivan's handler?
Ivan the Gorilla's a real gorilla?
Yeah, he was a gorilla that was in a dirt mall. Like, in a basically a... Yep. Like a,
I missed all this.
6x6
I slept through this class.
Public access and gorillas, man. Washington used to be really fun.
This was like 80s. Like, he got out in the like 80s, maybe 90s?
It was a long time ago.
Yeah, they moved him to the... They moved him to Florida, where he lived a nice long life and then, you know, passed away, as you would. But it was... this was the place where it was fun to go to when I was a little kid, because they had an arcade, they had a merry-go-round.
Nice.
And then you always kind of have those hazy rose-colored glasses, and you're like, oh yeah, I remember when it was fun. And then you show up and you're like, oh.
There's needles and bubble gum on everything. That lady doesn't have any teeth. And that guy's got her teeth in his head. And
when we arrived, I parked next to you, I ask you not, a Prius that was kept together by duct tape.
A Prius is a newish car. How do you do that?
That's a good question.
I drove it into the ocean. How do you do that with a Prius? It's a new car.
This
Prius goes mudding.
It was ridiculous. And I'm like, this is where we're at right now.
We're off-roading in a Prius.
I love the post-apocalyptic Prius.
Mad Max.
Yeah, check that out.
Like, oh, wow. He's not kidding.
You're talking about
the whole back bumper.
I would say like a solid roll of duct tape.
They even color match. They got the silver duct tape for the silver Prius.
Yeah, it is brutal. And I was just like, well, this is Tacoma life.
Yep.
I even tweeted
what
it out.
Is, everyone, is that, yeah, he if you check his Twitter feed, or but they yeah, obviously, on, yeah, they rubbed the car on something. And then they fashioned a repair. But yeah, that's just... What are you, not insured? I mean, what are we talking about here?
That is a lot of freaking duct tape.
What sucks is it rains in the Pacific Northwest, so that becomes soup inside of about a week.
Yeah.
You know, like you could...
It looks like it already had.
It'd be awesome if there was like a dog stuck to it, like just...
I can't get off.
You gotta get that thing off of there, man.
You know? I tried licking this car and my tongue is stuck.
Yeah, or a small child, like, oh, we've picked up a toddler.
Yeah, it was... It was an experience, but across the street from there is also the Starlight Swap Meet, which hopefully we're going to go to at some point and kind of get that vibe, because like I'm talking about how the BNI is the dirt mall, the swap meet is below that.
It's the dirt mall's dirt mall.
It's the last,
like the little crappier little brother version.
Yeah, the last time I bought anything from there, it was a boombox that I was assured would work. Of course, it didn't work at all. And of course, I had no foresight to being like, hey, maybe I should plug this in and check it out, because, hey, this nice lady said it totally worked.
Right. I trust you.
Yeah. That's why I have trust issues.
It was the dirt mall boombox. Yeah.
Yes.
It all goes back to that damn boombox. Rev just wanted to play In Your Eyes outside of that girl's house and hold that boombox in the air like Lloyd Dobler, and you got screwed.
Lloyd Dobler. Well done on that deep cut sub-reference, man, because that's just John Cusack to me, man.
Yeah, dude. How about, well, back in the early stages of Peter Parker, one of our first songs we ever wrote was called Lloyd Dobler.
My man.
And it was like my favorite of all of our songs, which we never wound up recording on a good recording, but it was like, I'll have to try and track that song down. It was like one of my favorite Peter Parker songs, and it was called Lloyd Dobler, and that's the only reason why I remember the name.
I got you.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah. Glenn, in your world, I don't know if you want to talk about it.
every week now, it's like, okay, dude.
I think anyone who plays music can find like fascination with the trials and tribulations of windowpane.
Are you talking about the thing that I put up yesterday and then took down?
Did you take it down?
The thing about the video.
Yes.
Yes, I took it down.
Okay.
Because there was one guy that trolled it to the degree that it was just ridiculous. And I went, man, the point's been made. And let's just take it down. But basically...
I respect why you got the decision.
It was... We weren't even... I mean, I'll show you guys the video. I'll show you all the video here in a minute, man. It's the coolest video windowpane's ever had done. And Jamie Burton Chamberlain, great guy. He shot it. He put it all together. He had the concept. We went, dude, cool, wow, fast, easy, fun, groovy.
Yeah, I remember looking at the pictures.
Oh, dude.
That you posted.
It was going to be
like
dope.
A month ago.
But then Jamie, he was like, dude, I'll have this done in a week or two. Well, and then he took off to Mexico for a while. And hey, all good, man.
Drug smuggling, I understand.
Yeah, right, right.
You know, got bills to pay.
You got
to
subsidize that income.
Yeah,
right.
Yeah, those drugs can't stay in the butt for that long.
So in the... Well, you'd be surprised. In the meantime, this video from a very... well-known artist, one of the biggest artists, if not the biggest artist of this particular genre, released a new single. And it was the exact same concept. Honestly, ours has a lot more layers and it was a little cooler. Theirs was very stripped down and simple, which was perfect for the piece of material they but it was like, oh God.
And it's funny because right as you, when I read that, I didn't even
Did
need
you
to
know?
Keep, I knew right away.
You put two and two together.
Just because.
I figured everyone would.
I've already seen the video that they did, and I agree. It's very stripped down, and it's cool, and it's perfect for the song.
Mm-hmm.
And when you said it, the light bulb went off in my head, because I remember the pictures that you guys already took.
Yep.
And I'm like, I get it. And I was like, I don't think, as an outsider, obviously you guys are way more connected to it, and I understand
well,
the trepidation.
We showed it to a lot of people. I looked at it and went, oh, dude, honestly, we risk, for me, anytime your integrity can be called into play, you should really stand up and take note. So I went, all right, my knee jerk is people are going to say that we copied this. And the reason I'm not saying the name is literally the director, it's you can probably put two and two together, but Jamie, the director, was like, hey man, don't even give people the opportunity to plant that seed.
Yeah.
Don't say what artist it is, because if we recut it and change it and release it 6 months later, we don't want people going, oh, I see.
Right.
So, and even now that I'm being vague, it's probably obvious, but if not, whatever. But we took them and put them side by side, and it literally, other than the cool layering and effects and all the additional work that Jamie put into his version, it literally felt like a shot-by-shot recreation.
So awkward.
I mean, right down to Tony. Like, Tony showed it to his mother, and his mom was like, oh, God, son. I showed it to my attorney. I showed it to my mom. I showed it to everyone I showed it to. I showed it to Jamie Nova from Witchburn, and she was like, her quote was, oh, my God, it's like it's the same storyboard. And I'm like, if we can't put this out, people are going to call us. And then, of course, so I, you know, Jamie, I talked to Jamie. We had a long talk about it because he was like, no, F that, put it out anyway. F that. Why do you care what people think? And I'm like, for a band in our place, honestly,
perception becomes reality. Yeah, and then you're just pigeonholed.
We're just that band that copied so and so. And we can't do, we don't, well, you know, if it was 3 years old, ours is different enough that you could say, oh, this reminds me of.
Mm-hmm.
But it's last month, man. I mean, so.
And you almost are putting out the video. If you put it out when you said you were going to, like, recently put it out,
oh, my goodness.
They basically would have came out within days of each other.
Oh, dude. And it, so.
I get it.
Tony talked to Jamie. Jamie kind of was hearing him, but wouldn't hear him.
Then, well, because he probably put a lot of work into it.
He did. It was killer.
And I mean, can understand why he's like, oh, this sucks, you know?
No more than us, right?
But at the end of the day, nobody's going to know he made it. They're going to know that it's you guys.
Sunday morning, after that, despite that conversation, he put a paid post.
And it's a Katy Perry video that we're comparing
it to. That's correct.
Man, I mean, California just, girl?
I kissed a girl, and I really liked it.
Snoop is in it, and there's all these hot chicks.
But he put up a post Sunday morning and paid to put money behind that post announcing the video would be released Wednesday.
Dude. Oh, the timing.
So I call him and I'm like, dude. And we had about a 40-minute conversation and he came around. He's like, dude, I get it. You know, for me, it's this is different, this is different, this is different. I'm like, yeah, a director gets that. But the layman, and that's who we keep showing it to, they all say the same thing. Mm-hmm. When 20 people that you respect and trust say, you can't put this out, people are going to make fun of you, take heed.
Yeah.
And he was like, okay, I get it. And he was like, I will take down my posts. He was like, I really think you should rethink this. I'm like, man, for now, because I'm thinking we just shoot a little more footage, we splice it into what we've got, and we release it in a few months. And I wouldn't have said anything publicly at all, except that he, after we told him not to, went ahead and said, we're putting this video out.
And it's easier just to throw it out on Facebook as opposed to everyone being like, hey, where's the video? Hey, where's
I had to do, he said, look, just do, basically do a press release, and I'll get your back on it, and I'll take my posts down. I said, okay. So I put up a press release on my page that just explained, hey, man, these things happen. And ours was shot prior to this, and it's really cool, and the guy did an amazing job, but we don't want to risk any possible disparaging comments or negative feedback. And 99% of what we got back was, oh, good idea, great move. Some of our closest friends, as we expected, said, hell with it, put it out anyway.
Yeah, selfishly, I want to see it.
I'll show you guys it. But
as a person, like, if I thought Windowpane, your only goal was to play some clubs in town and be, you know, weekend warrior, local band.
We got a guy down in L.A. right now working on setting up. We can't be, oh, you guys, look what they did.
Right. Yeah.
We cannot risk that right now. And so, you know, most people are really cool. Many people put up really, dude, this is very smart. The last thing you want is some kind of a war on YouTube. This is a bummer, but a very intelligent decision. That was most of the feedback.
And that's where I'm
And then
like,
there
yeah.
was one troll. That was like, oh, you won't say who the band is. I smell a fish. There's something weird going on here.
Oh.
And Tony engaged him, and it turned into a novel.
I didn't even see that.
Oh, well, that's because by last night, I was like, you know, this has gotten enough light, and I never would have said
like
anything.
Like a Buck Rogers girl.
We would have edited it. We would have edited it, changed a few things, and released it 3 months from now, and no one would have been the wiser. The only reason I said anything publicly is because Jamie announced the video was coming out Wednesday.
That makes sense.
And I went, crap.
Yeah.
Now I gotta say something.
Well, I was trying to say,
you know, that's why we were talking about trolls. I'm like, man, here we go again.
Well, if it was just like a local release, I'd be like, put it out. Who cares? You guys are just doing this for fun. But you have a plan in set of wanting to be exposed to people outside of Seattle, Washington. And if that's the case,
That's
why I 100% agree with the decision, because the last thing you need is
people that
don't know you guys and don't know what you did to make this
We would have been
video.
Ridiculed. We would. I'll show you guys a side-by-side comparison. We would have been ridiculed. And we.
Being a new band, you don't need
love
that.
And no.
New in the eyes of.
Oh, my goodness, no.
Obviously,
but
people
the love
like,
and support was great,
Kansas.
And a lot of people got it. And that's the thing, is it wasn't a tragedy. It's like, hey, we're going to shelve it for now. We're going to rework it and re-release it. And I only put that up because Jamie, the director, had said, hey, it's coming out Wednesday. And all I said was, hey, we got to sit on this thing for a minute, because a group of guys and some artists put out a video that's extraordinarily similar, and we don't want to risk being called copycats. So, and then I literally remember saying the end of it said, this is one of those things you never see coming, and when it happens, you just have to decide how to best deal with it.
You have to react to it.
And I was like, thank you guys for your love and support. I did not expect that was going to create any kind of drama. And really, for the most part, it didn't. There was just one guy that was like, oh, this is weird. Something fishy's going on. Why won't you say?
This is why we do Facebook drama, because people love to make drama on Facebook.
Oh, dude. So I deleted it, and I was like, tomorrow, I'm going into London Bridge with my buddies. Yeah. Enough. And I can't wait to show you guys the video. It's actually really cool. But I'll show you, I'll give you the Pepsi challenge, and you're going to go, oh, dude, I get it.
Yeah.
And what really bums me out is ours is 100% cooler. What he did, the layering, the imagery, how he treated it. Jamie did an amazing job. It was incredible. I mean, and it breaks my heart that he put all that time into it.
Well, selfishly, I'm glad we get to see it.
Oh, I'll show you guys.
Because I do like the video that you guys are talking about, the other band's video. I think it's perfect. But you could tell it's like a quick video because they're releasing the song, mm-hmm. and it's not necessarily like a big budget music video, although they probably spent more money on it than most people would ever spend on a video.
Jamie's concept was from a video that he did for Duff in the Loaded era, and he said, look, there are these cutaways, and he showed me that video, and he said, I'm thinking of doing your whole video like these performance cutaways, the whole video. And I was like, dude, won't that give people seizures? And he's like, no, because I'm going to fly in this and this texture, and I'm going to do it. And I was like, Jamie, man, you got a vision, let's roll with it. And what he put together is dope. And then, whoops. Yep.
Katy Perry.
You know, and Tony and I have even talked about it. Even if we had released ours first, people would see one after the other and say, sure. Oh, they totally, there's no way to avoid.
You cannot win against it's just not
good. We were bummed, but it wasn't that big of a deal. I'm thinking, hey, man, we do some additional shooting at Jamie's leisure, and we rework this thing a hair, and we release it 3 months from now, and we've got a dope video. This is not a big deal.
And quite possibly a better video.
Yeah. So we were like, tragic, but this is going to be okay. And right. I never would have said anything publicly had he not decided we're putting this thing out.
It's I'm telling you, window pane. It's like a soap opera these days, bro. It's the Facebook soap
actually,
opera.
Actually, man, if you want to go, it's funny.
Window pane.
This has just been Facebook stuff.
Yes,
but that soap opera goes back to, I don't even want to say when we started this band, but it has just been nonstop. Okay, we'll have to lawyer up. Oh, God, we'll never find Jimmy's hand. It's been like this. Man, I turned on TV when I was a little kid, and I was like, Jimmy Page is cool. I want to do that with my life. I don't think Jimmy Page's life path has been anything like mine.
Not at all.
This has just been a series of
kicks in the Jimmy.
Well, but there's been a lot of dope moments, too, but my Jimmy's tender, yeah.
Yeah, it's been massaged. You know, even a massage Jimmy, if it gets kicked, it still hurts.
Just, man, there's you know, the truth is, Bon Scott summed it up beautifully. All that crazy stuff in that AC/DC song ain't no joke, man. Just all kinds of madness surrounds it. So now in the era of social media, I put that up. I thought it'd be, like, oh, cool, we can't wait to see it in 3 months, bro. I didn't expect I'm coming to your house so we can discuss this.
Okay.
What? You know, I'm eating cereal and petting my cat. What are you doing?
Dude, we deal with that sometimes even on our show when we like something happens or whatever it may be. It's nice that people feel such, I use this word, and it may be not the best word, ownership.
Mm-hmm.
But sometimes it's like, hey, man, Like, just understand, we're okay. Like, don't...
Everyone was cool. There was like, one
There's no battle need to be fought. There's no nothing. It's just... It's an unfortunate circumstance. It's just a weird coincidence. No, nobody needs to fight anybody's battles.
Our brother Rain Stone, he didn't even fiddle with Facebook. He started texting me directly.
He's like, "What's
and he's
this.
Like, "Put it out, put it out." I'm like, "Dude, honestly, we can't do that. We're gonna get tremendous ridicule." And he's like, "You wear their words like war paint, man. You charge on and blah blah blah."
That's
and I'm like,
"Rain, man."
And I'm like, "Rain, I love you for this. I love you for this, bro.
That is awesome."
But literally, man, he was like, "Man, he was just so passionate," which is awesome. I mean, what a blessing to have a friend like. But yeah. He didn't even fiddle with Facebook. He's like, "I got Glenn's number. Let's I'm go. On this. Put it out." I'm like, "Ah."
That's kind of better, though.
I'm coming over. I'm kidnapping you.
But we had a great text exchange. It deteriorated into, "Okay, dude, you, me, a fifth. We're going to go in the woods. We're just going to zen out and get hammered and punch trees or whatever."
There's the spirit.
It turned into a whole thing, man. I love you, Rain, if you're listening.
Rain's the best.
Oh, yeah.
Hey, let's do some quick voicemails and messages, and then we have to go become recording stars at London Bridge Studios. So let's do it.
Which one of these males has the old breath? Checking us again, everyone and in my bed, yeah! FCP cat! What is it, FCP cat? What is it, FCP cat?
Oldie it's not goodie. The producer.
I know it's a SCP catch, but I just love that version so much. Fun. I was like, let's just play it anyway.
I was like, I think this one has.
We can redo Cotton Amash with Migs.
Ziggy, I don't care, man. Even if it says SCP catch, I just wanted to play that one at least one more time.
It's killer.
You know why? Because I've been on an Anthrax kick. I saw that social media hashtag that I was spreading, three albums that have changed your life.
Mm-hmm.
And I put zero thought into it because I knew I could overthink this and be like, well, no, this one and then that one.
Yeah.
I just thought, first three albums come to mind that changed my life growing up. Anthrax's Among the Living, which has Cotton Amash. That's why.
Yeah.
Then Faith No More is the real thing.
Nice.
Look, I think Angel Dust is a better record. And that's where I got this weird dilemma.
I hear
which
you
one
there,
changed
dude.
My life more, though?
Well, it's like the 10 and Versus. I love Versus, but 10's probably a better record. But man, Versus is my one. That's, Versus is the go-to.
If I had to pick any Pearl Jam album, I'm
Versus.
Versus has, song-wise, it hits me in a way more
the bounce,
than
Bounce, Abruzzese, man. That album's about Abruzzese. Or if I'm saying that right.
Abruzzese? I don't even know.
Anyone weigh in on that?
Abruzzese.
There's so many Z's in it, I feel like I've been drugged.
Drummer number three.
Abruzzese.
Because Chamberlain was like
he was there for a minute.
Temporary.
Yeah.
But he was their touring drummer until they got Dave.
Yeah.
So I even thought 10, and I'm like, gosh, but did it change my life? Like, musically, did it change the way I looked at things? So, of course, the real thing really did change my life and how I viewed music. Like, it was just such a funky hip-hop, alt-rock, metal. It was everything. It made me, like, appreciate other music.
And you've been more kind to Fish as well.
I have. Absolutely. So Faith No More is the real thing. Anthrax is Among the Living. And then the other one, and I know it's probably a band that not a lot of people know, but for those that do know, understand it, especially being a Brooklyn boy, it's Life of Agony's River Runs Red, which is an album. It's a metal record, and It's a journey inside the mind of a kid dealing with a family that killed, like, I think his mom committed suicide. He's a Brooklyn guy, a Brooklyn band. And they, in a way that we do on our podcast, like, where we just, like, you know, we want to have fun, but we also do sometimes talk about some, hey, guys that make me feel like crap and make me shake in anger. This band really wore their heart on their sleeve more than any band I ever heard. And being a Brooklyn kid, I connected,
with it
because
sure.
I went to high school with guys that, like, the lead singer who's now has become a female, Keith Caputo, is now Mina Caputo. But Keith, at one point, didn't have a home, and he crashed at my buddy from high school's house.
Oh, wow.
So, like,
you're
on the,
like,
first
connected.
Album.
Yeah.
In a weird way, like, River Runs Red, and granted, I'm not still friends with that guy, not for any falling out, just at that time, we didn't have social media to stay in touch. And
yeah,
I went off to college in Seattle, and he went off wherever, but they thanked Giovanni Retta, and Giovanni and I were in a band for a half a second. Like, so it's like, there was, like, a certain connection to that band because they felt like they were they were almost like classmates to me in mm-hmm. a roundabout way, and they grew up and became a big band in the world of Brooklyn. They're like, you know, in metal there's the big four, in Brooklyn there's the big three. It's Life of Agony, which is, like, the lowest in the sense of, like, the little brother, but then you got Typo and Biohazard.
Oh, yeah.
Those three were like that. They were like Brooklyn hardcore metal. And Life of Agony was the one that hit me more than, and in fact, I'm planning eventually to go see our boy Tony Mitchell working on a chess piece that includes the Life of Agony logo, because they mean that much to me.
Cool.
So I just haven't figured it out, because I just don't want it just to be the logo.
Yeah, you know, just don't, and please just don't do a Brock Lesnar penis sword.
No. Okay. No, I'm going to do that on my back.
All right, sweet.
It's pointing towards my
acceptable. Acceptable.
So, oddly enough, I want to throw it out there. First album, all right, for you guys, you don't have to post it on social media. The three albums that changed your life without thinking.
You go.
I've already done this one. So Korn self-titled.
Yeah.
I just loved it. I loved how raw it was. And then also I had to write these down. Typo Negative, October Rust.
Okay. Oh, not even Bloody Kisses.
No, and it's weird because I've been getting into, it's Halloween time, so I've been getting into a lot more Typo, but I've just been watching just a ton of the videos, and
I saw you tweet how you were bummed you never saw them live.
Yeah,
and not to rub it in, I saw them live and they were amazing at the Showbox.
So good.
I mean, they sucked, Rev.
Yeah, thanks.
They were terrible. He didn't even. He had like a.
My acid hadn't kicked in yet, yeah. So I actually got to really experience their set.
He sang
my
Soprano.
My acid kicked in by the time Jackal took the stage, though, and that guy thought, "Oh man, yeah."
Did that freak you out with the freaking chainsaw?
No, just I was like, that guy's really playing a chainsaw, you know? Okay, Glenn, you want to get a beer? God. No, I'm going to stand here and watch this, man. You know, yeah.
Here I am, plugging away with music, trying to make it, and this guy's making it with a chainsaw.
I looked up the track list of October Rust, because I thought, I wasn't 100% sure if that was the one, but it's got, it's just got... Everyone I Love Is Dead. Just all of the ones that I knew, because I came to know and appreciate Typo later. And once I got into them, and then Peter Steele passed away, and I was like, eh.
Quick tie into Life of Agony, the drummer Sal Abruscato, I don't think he was on October Rust, but he was on Bloody Kisses and the earlier stuff, The Origin of the Feces. Great record.
Yeah, it is.
He's the drummer of Life of Agony, and Life of Agony's first album was produced by Josh Kelly, who's the keyboardist of Life of Typo Negative.
Damn!
There's a lot
it's
of incest.
6 degrees of Kevin Bacon going on right there.
I know.
Right.
Well, it's like when you said the you know, from the hometown, those three bands. I was like, oh, you said Typo. That's okay. That totally makes sense now.
Yep.
And then the last band is kind of an electronic band called VNV Nation. And And they were the first ones that made me realize, oh, I really like this type of music. And it's one of those ones that led me into all the stuff that I like now. And they're doing a concert on the 7th, so right before Migs Fest, they're doing a 3-hour concert of,
I like that they warn everyone ahead of time, it's going to be 3 hours.
It's from all of their music across everything. So they're cherry picking. I think it's at the Showbox, and so it's just this is one of the ones why I heard about it like around May or something.
You will be in attendance.
Oh, yeah.
This is done. Yeah.
And I flat out, like, my wife, she isn't too keen on them. We went one time and she was like, all right, this is kind of cool. Like, it's me and my best friend, Brogan. We're going because we've totally geeked out and we're mandating on this one. It's just like, this is the pinnacle band for me.
Hell yeah, man.
Yeah.
I almost said F yeah, but I was like,
thanks. Yeah. More edits.
Glenn, what about you, man?
Yeah, that's a tough question.
It is.
The definite, without even thinking, is Led Zeppelin Song Remains the Same.
Yeah.
That record still, good Lord. Well, it's Live No Quarter, Live Days Confused. Zeppelin was the whole reason I ruined my life. I heard the Lemon song, and that was that.
I like that you picked that one, too.
Also, Song Remains the Same is the one. Like, if anyone's like, oh, I've never really heard Zeppelin, I'd be like, oh, let me play you something, and I would play them Live No Quarter first.
Mm.
I'd be like, this is what this is all about. And they'd be like, oh, dude. I'm like, yeah, and they put out studio albums too, but this is the one. Man, beyond that, my tastes are so all over the place. I can't.
Just think first that pops in the mind. Honestly, I know, it's easy to overthink.
Angel Dust and Verses, maybe, okay. You know, but I'm missing out on some albums that were very critical to me. What was the, not Down on the Upside, man, Super Unknown.
Unknown was super big
Unknown
too.
Was a serious record for me. Honestly, King's X, records that changed my life, that affected the way I am as a player. The Faith, Hope, Love album by King's X.
That's such a good record.
Between them and Neil Young and then Page, when I learned how to play 10 Years Gone correctly, that's how I learned drop D tuning, and that changed the way I approach guitar. I mean, I don't do everything in drop D, but... So it's weird like that. It's
gosh,
almost...
I didn't even think for playing like as a drummer. Oh. I have three different records.
Yeah,
like, you know what I mean. Like, I mean, see, Kill 'Em All, Metallica.
Well, even the Jane's Addiction, Nothing Shocking, and Ritual de la Habitual Man. And say what you want about Dave Navarro, but he was one of the, he blended psychedelia and metal.
I love Dave Navarro.
See, people were like, dude,
they're basically
that guy's brilliant.
The only Chili Peppers album I like is One Hot Minute.
One Hot Minute. And the Peppers won't even recognize that One Hot Minute.
I know,
is
and that's why.
I
hate the
that's
Pepper.
A great record.
Do you smoke weed? Or do you smoke pot from time to time?
No.
Oh, well, okay. I don't know if you're, but
yeah.
Put One Hot Minute on and listen to it on headphones stoned.
Really?
And don't ever drive at night stoned and listen to that record.
Okay.
Some of those segues and breakdowns, you'll go bye-bye.
I'm glad that we all
you
agree on that record.
You will go bye-bye. One Hot Minute is sick.
I put that it's behind Blood Sugar Sex Magic as far as if I had to list my favorite Chili Peppers songs, and the list isn't going to go very long.
Diehard Peppers fans will crucify you for the loving that record. And
which
I'm like,
is why I don't like the Chili Peppers, because they denounce the album.
I don't get that.
They don't even play live.
It's because, and that's why I was like, oh, I want to go to the Chili Peppers. And it was like Frusciante when he came back into the band, he's like, I'm never going to play this. And I'm
but
like,
their songs are good.
Dude,
they're so good.
A lot
and Navarro,
of those tunes
I think, gets
killer.
A bum rap because he became Hollywood Navarro. You know what I mean?
Well, like, I think that's what that is. But to me,
those first two Jane's Addiction, I don't even know technically that was the first. The first was like X or Triple X.
Triple X, yeah. And it was half live, half studio.
But Ritual and Nothing Shocking are unbelievable.
And that was the thing at the time, man. That guy blended basically heavy metal with psychedelia. And I had never heard anything like it. And he's a ripping fast guitar player.
And
he's
Perkins.
Got great hands. I got to jam with Perkins, man. I got to jam with Perkins and Peter DeStefano more than once on stage at the Second Phoenix.
I was there
and
once.
That was cool.
I think I was at, and doesn't, who, the bassist of...
Zach Malang.
Yes.
Yep.
Yes, I was there
Zach
for one
Malang.
Of those.
Zach Malang. He was in Supersonic Soul Pimps. Yep. He's an animal musician.
Zach is an amazing
bassist.
Oh,
dude. Yeah. But I got to jam with those cats, and it was cool.
And Perkins could not be a cooler guy, because I hung out with him a little bit after one of those shows, and he was... Him and I were geeking out about drum stuff.
Yeah. I jammed with DeStefano a couple times, which is a lot of fun, but, you know, I hear you. It's...
Oh. Yeah, Peter DeStefano from Porno for Pyros.
No. Porno for Pyros. That's
right. And he's a sweetheart of a guy, too.
Awesome guy and a hell of a musician.
And I remember when I was geeking about drum stuff with Perkins, and he goes, man, I wish I would have talked to you before this set. I would have let you jump on the drums.
And
I'm like, now I'm really glad we didn't talk before the set, because I would have never wanted to do that. That would have freaked me the living hell out. I could not play drums in front of you. I'm sorry. Because he influenced me to be more tribal in... Rely on toms sometimes, not just rely on the cymbals. Like,
well, you think about
the
like Mountain Song only functions because Perkins makes it function. I've tried to cover that song with other guys, and it falls flat, and we jerk it from the set, and it's really because they're just not nailing that drum loop.
Yep.
You know, it's Perkins.
I got it.
Blah 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 blah. Perkins.
Unbelievable. I want to ask Justin and Hannah too, since you guys are here. First three records that come to mind that changed your life, Justin.
Nevermind.
Nice. Yep.
Kill 'Em All.
Oh, good man.
And then anything from Pantera. Pantera.
Oh,
honestly.
Man, that's a tough call. Like, Cowboys
to
from
me,
Hell.
Cowboys is the one,
is probably
man.
Because it introduced
one.
Us. Remember that video at Headbangers Ball the first time you watched Cowboys from Hell? And I'm like, who are these guys and that singer?
I just heard this guitar solo from Psycho Holiday. I bought the record based on Cowboys, the single.
Right. Yeah.
And I heard the guitar solo for Psycho Holiday and went, dude, who's this guy? And Cowboys, I mean, a lot of guys are vulgar. Like, my drummer's like, dude, Vulgar's the record. And Vulgar's dope, but I'm a Cowboys from Hell guy. It's tough to make that call, man.
What I liked about that record too is that they were still teetering on the line of just being like almost a hair metal band.
Well, they hadn't gone full. Those first couple records were still without trying to sound negative, hooky.
That's
they
what
wrote
I mean.
Big right. strong yeah. hooks. Later, it became just pure pile driver, and I, you know, like Reinventing the Steel, I kind of fell out of love with them at that point, man. You know, because I missed the hooks. I missed the catchiness of... I felt like it had more attitude. When they went to pure grind, it wasn't as aggressive in a weird way.
Right. And I don't know. It's just they were getting older and then...
Well, yeah.
And then, you know, the whole filth.
Oh, thing. I'm sure there was some internal stuff, too, that could create...
Yeah.
So for you, Hannah?
I don't know. I'd have to go with Pink Floyd, Dark Side of the Moon.
That's
one of my favorites.
Hell yeah.
Couldn't get through high school without it.
Nice.
I always give Pink Floyd a hard time, but Dark Side of the Moon.
Are you a fan of like the Final Cut? I mean, for me, the Syd Barrett stuff is touch and go. For me, it starts with metal, Animals I love. Dark Side is usually everyone's favorite, but for me, The Wall and The Final Cut. And everyone's like, The Final Cut. And that record. Oh, yeah.
That's intense.
Good on you. Yeah, dude. I used to just lay in bed in the dark and listen to The Wall and The Final Cut on headphones. And it was like a movie experience. Yeah.
Definitely.
Way to bring up the Floyd. No one brought up the Floyd. Good
like
for
it.
You.
All right. Yeah, two more.
Yeah, two more.
No pressure.
Well, the pressure's on.
First thing that comes to your mind.
I love how she looked right at you for a lifeline, like, help me.
Not gonna do it.
And he's got his arms folded, looking away, like, this is all you, babe. No, all you, babe. All.
Gotta go with Pantera, too. That was a big one.
Yeah.
You know, going through high school. I like.
Isn't it funny? I think all of us are kind of leaning towards the song, the albums that we got turned on to in our like teen years.
Oh yeah,
I mean, absolutely. It's really amazing how like the music can change the direction how you are as a teenager.
There's been some cool stuff that's come out in the past 15 years, but not. I'm sure every generation says that, but man, the late 80s, early 90s was a real hotbed for amazing, amazing albums. It really was. Kind of like, you know, you look at the late 60s compared to the majority of the 70s. There was a bit of oh my goodness. Then there were some, the majority of Zeppelin's career carries through the 70s, but those explosions, and there was an explosion in the late 60s, and there was an explosion again for me in kind of the late 80s, early 90s.
Super by the time, late 80s. Like,
dude, Facelift,
89.
Metallica dropped, Facelift dropped, Appetite dropped. Oh, man. Yep. Like, between 86 and so, and even if you're a movie geek, man, the early 80s, you give me 79 to about 85. Or 77, actually, because that's when Star Wars came out.
Right, Star Wars.
But, dude, like, for film, the mid-70s to the mid-80s was a hotbed of just
amazing films. It's all Ronald Reagan, man.
Amazing
he
films.
Introduced us all to us.
Yeah, that's right.
Yeah.
Actually, yeah.
One more hand, I'm not going to let you off the hook.
Nice.
She's got her phone out. She's like, she's consulting Google.
How did you meet your best friend?
Lifeline coming in.
Yeah. Gotta go with Rammstein. That's a big one.
Yeah.
That's a real big one.
Du hast.
Exactly,
me.
And that's how it happened.
Nice.
You know, middle schooler, listening to Rammstein, rock it out. That's all I had. So.
Don't know what they were singing about, but I loved it.
But you felt it.
At that point, no.
It's kind of funny because I remember Rammstein was one of those bands that I would when I was younger, it would be like, let's find all the weirdest music you could find. So I was listening to like circus metal. Like there's a band called Dog Fashion Disco that is just the weirdest metal things. And me and my buddy were going back and forth, and we ended up finding a mashup of Rammstein and Tattoo, which were the Russian lesbian band.
Yes.
And it, whoever mashed it up, it
I
was.
I thought the Tattoo was the greeter on Fantasy Island.
No, well, he is. But these were two.
Plain.
Yeah. These were two.
Hot lesbian.
Russian lesbians
yes,
that
con?
Would make out in their videos.
Oh, that's exciting.
Oh, yeah. And you guys are talking about Aaron Gray.
Yeah.
These were my girlfriends.
Right on.
And when they mashed it up, it was just like, this is outstanding because you've got these hot Russian chicks singing with this super, super hard German metal. And it was just like, it was pretty influential.
Cool.
Yeah.
Yeah, I'm very interested. You've got my attention completely.
Yeah, I can see you're standing.
Tell me more, man. For about four minutes.
Introduce us to your girlfriends. All right, you know, honestly, we got to get to the studio.
We got to go?
Yeah, we got things to do. We got songs to create.
Are you guys coming to Migs Fest?
Yes.
Can we get actual visit?
No. I was going to say we should guest list you.
Oh, really?
Yeah, that's what I was going to say. If you haven't bought your tickets yet, your guests on the show, we should guest list you for Migs Fest.
Oh, wow.
Awesome.
So before we split, let me put you guys into my tricorder here.
Okay.
And that'll happen. You know? That just makes sense to me, right?
Yeah.
So, okay.
Very nice.
And there's a nice segue into the Migs Fest, October 8th at Studio 7 plug.
Yes. Who's going to be there, Glenn?
Mock Society, Wide Only in the Wreckage, Superfecta, Clover Jane, and that's their EP release party. 10 Miles Wide and Window Pane at Studio 7. Nah, and that is
right.
October 8th, and that's going to be a killer night.
I am so pumped. A lot of people here at the station. D-Ted Smith is coming.
Yeah.
He's very excited about it. Matt Koch, he's coming.
It's going to be a crazy night. I really, as far as I know, last time I checked in, ticket sales were really like, oh my goodness.
I got a message from our friend Red the Stripper. She said, what's this I hear about a birthday party going on, a Migs Fest? I'm like, do you want to go? And she's like, yeah.
Rum party.
So I feel like we might have to before Migsfest, because we were talking also, she wants to come back and hang out.
Nice.
Come on the show. Red the Stripper is a stripper.
What does she wear when she comes? Just jeans and a t-shirt, or does she come?
Pretty chill, but it's still...
It's hot as hell,
yeah,
actually.
Really?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Red the Stripper, to put it in perspective.
She's a dirty birdie.
I got a message from somebody. When you first walk into
I
Little
love you,
Darlings...
wife person, if you're out there. I love you.
You know what? And she's the coolest, most down to earth. It's, you know...
Oh, no.
Tells it like it is, man.
That makes her even more desirable. Great.
Yeah, I'm not
way
helping.
To go, bro.
She's a really mean...
My wife's going to punch a size my face later today. I'm sure of it.
But one person told me, apparently, you walk into Little Darlings, there's a giant poster promoting Red. Like, that's how big...
She's here.
Like,
damn.
Like, that's next level. Like, I mean, not any other local stripper is getting a poster at the club that you... At least that I know of.
I want to get a poster of Steve and put that inside the door.
Yeah, right. Little Darlings.
What's this all about?
Steve sometimes comes here. Wait. C-O-M-E-S.
Oh, God. Okay.
Just want to make that clear. But our Red the Stripper is going to be at Migsfest. Hopefully, we'll have her on the Migscast before Migsfest, if
that would
not
be cool.
Soon after
come
that.
Come see us.
Cool.
Maybe she'll bring some of her friends. We never know. So it's going to be a great time.
Awesome.
I cannot wait. Thank you, guys. Justin, Hannah, as always, it's always great seeing you guys. Much love to you. Thank you for being a part of this. Congratulations on just getting married.
Congrats.
That is awesome. And we'll see you at Migsfest.
Yeah.
October 8th. Go to our Facebook page. Just type in the Migscast. It's pinned at the top. If you need information about Migsfest, you can find out there. If you're friends with any of the bands, they're all hustling, trying to sell those tickets. I know Wyatt and Wyatt Only in the Wreckage has a handful of tickets.
You just had to ask for more, actually.
That's a good thing.
Kyle great. Court ran out, too. It's
selling.
Woohoo!
And I think Wyatt and his crew might swing by the studios to say hi and bring some beer today.
Ah, hey. Fantastic.
He's like, I don't want to bug you guys. I know you're going to... I'm like...
Wyatt, it's not bugging us.
I'm like, no! Come hang out with us. Yeah. It's going to be a celebration.
Ah,
Red
that's
singing.
Awesome.
Jeez. Yes.
Which I is am. Also awesome.
So please, come to Migsfest October 8th at Studio Jeez. 7. We'll be back next week. Thank you for listening. Glenn, as always,
stay positive. Love you guys.
Yes, we're out. Rev, bye-bye.
Bye.